This is Dr. Bill Griffin coming to you from the headquarters of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations in Bristol, Tennessee. And today's guest on Dental Soundbites has been an inspiration to many of us over the years. Dr. Bill Sasser has been a member of CMDA for decades. And during that time, he has led more mission trips and taken more dental students on mission trips than anyone else I know. In honor of his accomplishments, the American Dental Association has appropriately named Dr. Sasser as their 2024 Humanitarian Award winner to be presented at their annual meeting in New Orleans this October. Perhaps during our conversation today, we can find out what has motivated Dr. Sasser to spend so much time caring for the dentally needy and inspiring others to do the same. Let's join Dr. Sasser now. Bill, thank you for making some time to join me on this month's Dental Soundbites podcast.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Bill.
You've been on my mind for a few years now to have as a guest on Dental Soundbites. But when the American Dental Association recently named you as their 2024 Humanitarian Award winner, I couldn't put it off any longer. And I understand that when ADA President Linda Edgar called you to give you the news, you had a bit of trouble hearing her. Tell us about that.
Actually, I was overseas at the time.
Not surprising.
I knew that I had been I'd been nominated. Really didn't think that I'd get it. But anyway, I got a voicemail when I got back home from the Dominican Republic. So I was really surprised.
Well, that's tremendous, and it's a bit ironic that you received an award in part for all of your international service, and there you were overseas to get the notice.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning of your dental career. You graduated from the Medical University of South Carolina in 1973, then completed your residency program in periodontics at the University of Alabama in 1976. At what point did you begin participating in dental mission trips?
For many years, most of what I did was private practice. And yet, it was in the at some point in the 80s, I actually joined the Christian Dental Society, and shortly after that, CMDA. And so I began to get publications from them, but they pretty much just kind of went across my desk, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. At some point in the early 90s, I actually saw an ad in one of the CDS publications for a dental training trip that Ron Lamb was organizing. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that really piqued my interest, mostly because of the fact that it was something that had been on my heart, but it was a minimal commitment. Mm-hmm. It was mostly a long weekend. And so my wife and I signed up and went down to Monterrey, Mexico with Ron.
And that's what got the ball rolling, huh?
Yeah, it was one of those types of situations that whenever a dentist goes into a new situation for the first time, it was a bit uncomfortable, mostly because I was totally out of the zone of what I was used to working with, of course, as far as equipment and other things. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty rustic sort of situation. And yet on that particular trip, I think God did sort of use that to create a curiosity in me. Ron actually gave me a good piece of advice at that point, and that was that we didn't know what God would be doing or how he would lead, but think about the life of Abraham. God made Abraham a great promise, but he only told him to just take one step at a time. And I think that's been good advice, to take one step at a time.
That's a good analogy. And I know Ron has been influential in getting a number of various dental missionaries started. And actually, he also is a former recipient of the ADA Humanitarian Award. I remember that. I was at that conference when he received that. So from that point forward, you went to that training seminar, and then you began doing trips. Do you remember that first trip?
Oh, yeah. Very, very well. My wife makes fun of me because I told her that I wasn't sure that I was really going to be comfortable with it, that I'd like to go somewhere where I thought that the water would be safe, we'd have air conditioning, and the food would be good. I actually remember on that first trip that I packed a suitcase that was about half full of cheese crackers in addition to my clothes. On the way from the airport, Ron actually stopped us off at a restaurant. It was very dark and a little bit questionable, and I'm sure that I must have thought that I couldn't touch anything or I'd get sick. But anyway, I decided to try the food. It was delicious, and I donated the cheese crackers to somebody else. I've been eating local food ever since then.
Now, on that trip and other trips to follow, how did the Lord confirm your calling to be involved in dental mission trips? Were there any particular dentists who inspired you to give away your services overseas?
That particular first trip was certainly an eye-opening experience for me. At that particular time, we had a friend who was a missionary in Honduras. And so we began to go to Central America to help support what she was doing. It was also through my association with the Christian Dental Society that I met Gail Cheatwood and Jim Carney and some other guys that you know very well who have been really great examples of God's servants. I like to tell people that there are certain lessons that we learn through teaching, but there are others that we're sort of caught by example.
Yes.
And in that sense, I've really been inspired by those guys, continue to be inspired by their witness.
Yes, I know that experience as well. You get to know someone who is involved in missions in one way or another, and often I will think to myself, I could never do what they do, but knowing them stretches what I can do. And the Lord uses us in each other's lives for that purpose. Now, at what point did you begin asking dental students to join you on your trips?
Well, for many years, most of what we did was we either went with our local church or I would join with other organizations just as a team participant. In the late 90s was when I went on my first GHO trip. Mm-hmm. It was on that particular trip that I really met some absolutely wonderful people like Ron Brown and others. And they sort of reached out to me and mentored me. And it wasn't too long after that that I became a team leader for GHO. That then became much of my focus. And I started actually going on several trips a year with GHO. And on a couple of those trips, we actually had some dental students from the University of Oregon. I'm such a slow learner. It hit me one day that if dental students from Oregon would go all the way to Central America, there might be some in my hometown that would go. And so one thing led to another. I reached out to some folks that I knew at the university. I met a couple of dental students. They seemed interested in what we were doing. And we did our first overseas mission trip that I organized myself for MUSC students in 2003. The last spring break trip that we just completed was our 21st of those particular trips. So that's been mostly what my focus has been in the last 20 years.
Well, that's tremendous. And I can hardly imagine all of the students you've had a chance to influence over the years. And MUSC does seem to be a school that, for the most part, has been very open to allowing students to go on trips. They see the value of enabling students to have such an experience. How have you seen the Lord bless dental students who have participated in your trips? What benefits do you see that they've enjoyed?
Well, I think dental students go overseas on these mission trips for a variety of different reasons. A lot of them, quite frankly, just want to get some additional experience because they've learned that we generally will be in a situation where we can expose them to a lot of clinical procedures. We've been very fortunate to have lots of other dentists who have been supportive, and so students get very good mentoring on the trips.
Yes.
In addition to that, though, there are lots of cultural, but really some significant spiritual things that have been happened on a lot of our trips. We've had kids that actually have come to faith. We've had some that really felt a call while they were on a trip to additional service, perhaps later in their lives. A lot of them actually come back to serve after they've graduated.
Yes.
On our last spring break trip, I was extremely encouraged because I had 9 young dentists who were graduates, all in private practice, who had been participants with us while they were students. So they're slowly giving back, which is really kind of the primary reason that that I really feel led to do this.
My perspective and what I'll tell others is I think every dental student or eventually every dentist should do a dental mission trip, an international trip. And it will resonate with some more than with others. But to give that first trip a try, to see if the Lord gives you a calling and inclination to be more involved, is a great thing to do early in your career. And some are going to catch the vision for that and be frequently involved. I have a friend who did two trips with me as a dental student at Louisville. And since graduation, he's been with me to India and Uganda twice. And he'll be serving the Lord internationally when I am with the Lord. And it's great to see people that catch that vision and continue on the work that you've begun.
That's very much what this is all about, Bill. I have to think that had I not ever gone to that first mission trip with Ron, how different my life might have looked. The other reason that I do the student thing is that I felt like that a number of years ago, the Lord sort of laid on my heart that it would be fine if I continued to just serve mostly by myself or with smaller teams, but that if I didn't start showing young people what I had learned, then it was going to die with me. And so my hope is that one of these days, long after you and I are both gone, that there'll be a lot of dental missionaries out there doing some sort of volunteerism to hopefully give back, so to speak, as a result of having been exposed like we're talking about here.
Yes, both internationally and in this country. And speaking of which, I have met a number of students across the country, you know this, including two right here in the Bristol area, who have profound gratitude for the role that you have played in their lives at MUSC. Do you ever get to catch up with your former students after they graduate?
Well, yeah, we stay reasonably well in touch with some of them. Mm-hmm. As you know, some kind of come in and out of your lives. Others kind of hang around. Yeah. And we've made some really deep friendships with some that we stay regularly in touch with. Mm-hmm. There are always regrets in life. And one of mine is that I really am not a very good Facebook person. So I've kind of lost track of some of them. And yet I've got a very big birthday coming up this year. And we are already planning not one, but two birthday parties in two different locations, mostly really to try to reconnect with a lot of the students that, you know, where we've shared some great times together, but they're busy with young families and other things. And mm-hmm. so we're going to use this as an opportunity to try to really celebrate.
Well, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, I know that your work with students is not limited to international trips, but you and your wife, Susie Lee, also regularly host students in your home in Charleston. Tell us more about that.
Well, both of us have Bible studies with students. Mm-hmm. We also love to have young people in our homes. I think everybody's family has a bit of dysfunction, although some more than others. We're reasonably normal, I guess. And so my wife loves to pray with students. Mm-hmm. We love to worship with them. And so it's really been a lot of fun. We kid about the fact that it's a whole lot more fun to hang out with young people than it is old people. Although we actually have a home group that we'll be meeting with tonight that we've been together for 25 years.
Wow.
So, that part's been, has really been neat. Actually, just tomorrow, Elise is coming to Charleston to speak to the students, and she'll be staying with her in our home, and we'll have an opportunity to really sort of interact with her a little bit more. Her father was another person that was really instrumental in his dedication to serve in Kenya all those years was just something that I was really touched by.
Yes, tremendous. So over the past few years, you've shared with me your efforts to start a dental clinic in Charleston to meet the needs of the dentally underserved there. What got you thinking along those lines, and how has that idea progressed?
Well, actually, you know, whenever you talk to people about the possibility of going overseas on mission trips, many of them, the first thing out of their mouth, well, what about the local needs that we mm-hmm. have? And actually, it was in 1991 when the first local charity dental clinic was begun in the Charleston area. Actually, in those days, we operated out of a single-wide mobile home. Wasn't quite as difficult as being overseas, but it wasn't the best of dental clinics.
Right.
Since then, there have been several other clinics that started, and quite honestly, I've been a volunteer at all of them at one time or another. Mm-hmm. And then I actually more or less inherited a closed charity dental clinic that actually had begun 25 years ago. And we began getting it back up to speed probably 15 years ago. And at some point, the Lord really began to lay on my heart that we were doing just enough charity to feel pretty good about ourselves, but we weren't really making a big, big difference. And so the vision for establishing actually a full-service charity dental clinic was something that began to kind of rumble around in my head. And after many, many years of development, some ups and downs and one thing or another, a couple of years ago, we actually opened a modern six-chair clinic in a poor neighborhood. And we now are operating it 4 days a week, doing restorative and preventive care, doing some partial dentures in addition to taking teeth out. The vision for it actually to be really more full service. As you know, there's a big gap between the sort of dentistry that we can do these days and what many people can afford. And I just feel like that that God really wants us to do more for poor people locally, in addition to what we might do overseas.
What I love about your story, Bill, is that you were involved in meeting the dental needs of those in your community, but the Lord gave you sort of a holy discontent that more was possible, and you move forward. And I pray that our listeners perhaps at times get that same discontent that things may not seem terrible right now, but the Lord has a purpose for us to play to move His kingdom forward. And I'm grateful that you responded to that call. Someone once said that we learn dentistry's true worth by giving it away. You've given away a lot of dentistry over the years. Why have you done it, and what have you learned?
Well, it's been very interesting. When I first went into practice with a lovely fellow whose goal at that particular point was to work hard, save, and retire by the time he was 50 years old. And he actually accomplished his goal. And yet the sadness about his life was that he was killed in a car wreck not long after he retired. I guess at some level that really sort of shook me. And I began, particularly as I got more to middle age, to think about what was I going to do. I read a quote one time from Winston Churchill that you make a living by what you earn, you make a life by what you give. And as I began to give more, I was touched by Bob Buford's book called Halftime, where he talks a lot about shifting from success motivation to significance. And now I find myself in a position in life where I can afford to basically work for free. And quite honestly, I'm still quite fulfilled by serving and by giving back. I get as much out of it, quite frankly, as I do in serving patients. And it's just really a neat experience to still be almost 80 years old and be interacting with young dental students and serving really on a pretty full-time basis. I'm looking to what the future would look. I'm anxious for somebody to come along to take the mantle, but God still got me in this particular place, and I'm enjoying the process. Don't like the admin part. You can edit that out. But the dental part's fine.
I think that would resonate with a lot of our listeners, frankly. Well, Bill, I just love how the gospel tends to turn us inside out. It gives us a greater satisfaction in meeting the needs of others in response to the love that Christ has for us than in just feeding our face or something like that. And
it's definitely more blessed to give than to receive.
I like that, Bill. Where'd you get that?
I read that somewhere.
Did you? Okay. Well, very good. Now, Bill, you have agreed to speak this October at the first and hopefully annual Great Commission Dental Conference to be held in Dallas, Texas on October 4th and 5th of this year. Are you as excited about this conference as I am?
Definitely. One of the things that we really need to do, quite honestly, is we need to meet together and encourage one another. And I really think that there's a lot of interest on the part of many in the dental community to at least a curiosity to know what are we going to do when we get older and how are we going to really make a big difference in this world. Dentistry is an absolutely wonderful profession, as you know, and yet it's a pretty highly compensated profession. And yet, because of that, I really think that it gets back to those that have been blessed more there's more responsibility. And as such, hopefully we can get a lot of like-minded dentists and will go away encouraged and perhaps challenged to look for ways to give back, whether it's in their own community or whether it's overseas.
Yes, that's our goal, is to expose more and more dentists to the possibilities and see where the Lord leads from there. Now, this conference is being arranged jointly by members of the Christian Dental Association and the Christian Dental Society. You and I have been members of each organization for a long time, and it'll be a unique opportunity for us to renew old friendships and also to make new friends who recognize the power that dentistry has to communicate the love of Christ. And I can't wait to see you and many others from our listening audience in Dallas on October 4th and 5th. Thank you, Bill, for being our guest today. And thank you also for agreeing to be a speaker at the Great Commission Dental Conference in October.
Looking forward to it. Blessings.
I look forward to hearing Dr. Bill Sasser's presentation at this fall's Great Commission Dental Conference, along with many other speakers. Drs. Bob and Diane Meyer, Dr. Van Haywood, Dr. Kevin Seidler, Dr. Gail Cheatwood, Dr. John Spinn, Dr. Kevin A. Duddle, Dr. Katie Musser, Jamie Saint, and many others. Registration is now open, and the early bird cost is only $195 per doctor and a mere $25 for students. To register or get more information, go to cmda.org/events. As we close this episode of Dental Soundbites, I think about a foundational verse for our upcoming Great Commission Dental Conference, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Whether we're in private practice, working in a clinic for the dentally underserved, participating in short-term mission trips, or serving full-time in a foreign country, may the love of Christ control us as we seek to spread that love through dentistry. Until next time, God bless.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.